You're listening to Comedy Central.
Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
What if I told you imaginary friends are real?
This is just so exciting.
This Friday, get ready for the movie event with the greatest cast you've ever imagined.
Showtime.
Ryan Reynolds, John Krasinski, Kaylee Fleming, Fiona Shaw, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Louis Gossett Jr., Matt Damon, Emily Blunt, George Clooney, Maya Rudolph, Bradley Cooper, Sebastian Maniscalco, John Stewart, Sam Rockwell, Awkwafina, Keegan-Michael Key, and Steve Carell.
I need to throw up or I need a snack. It's one of the two.
Gross.
If. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Written and directed by John Krasinski.
March 27th, 2019. From Comedy Central's World News headquarters in New York, this is The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Ears Edition.
Tonight is a fascinating human being. She is a social psychologist with a fascinating new book about implicit bias. Dr. Jennifer Ebhardt is joining us, everybody. Also on tonight's show, the good news in the Mueller report, the hot new Democrat, and the man who won March Madness. So let's catch up on today's headlines. First up, the moon. Getting there was one of America's greatest achievements. But what if America could get there again?
A bold declaration by the vice president today. The Trump administration wants U.S. astronauts back on the moon in just 5 years.
Last December, China became the first nation to land on the far side of the moon and revealed their ambition to seize the lunar strategic high ground and become the world's preeminent spacefaring nation. And let me be clear. The first woman and the next man on the moon will both be American astronauts, launched by American rockets from American soil.
Wearing American apparel, holding an American girl doll, and paying with American Express. I'm not gonna lie, this announcement kind of took me by surprise. Mostly because I was surprised to find out that Mike Pence believes the moon exists, you know? No, he seems like the kind of guy who thinks the devil put the moon there to make us think about nipples, you know? Also, I like that American people believe you can just, like, fix any of its current problems, you know, just by rebooting your old greatest achievements, you know? Like, next week, Mike Pence is just gonna announce that he's sending a special ops team to the bottom of the ocean to re-murder Osama bin Laden. We'll do it again, folks! But you know who is excited that we're going back to the moon? Buzz Aldrin, yeah. He can finally get his house keys that he left up there. Poor guy's been locked out for 50 years. All right, let's move on to sports news. The NCAA tournament isn't even half over, but we already have an MVP.
Sports Illustrated reports on the only person in the world with a perfect NCAA tournament bracket so far. The odds of that are 1 in 281 trillion. Ohio neuropsychologist Greg Nigel correctly predicted the outcomes of the first 48 March Madness games. Nigel shatters the previous record streak of 39 games.
I was actually pretty sick with a bad cold on Thursday. I woke up to call into work, I took some cold medicine, and I almost just went right back to bed, but I knew I had two more brackets to fill out.
Wow. Wow. This guy had a cold, and he still managed to fill out a perfect bracket. That is the worst overcoming an obstacle sports story I've ever heard. Just like, move over, homeless NFL player. This guy somehow opened up a laptop with a stuffy nose. And it really is just luck, right? Because when you have this many people filling out brackets, it's bound to happen eventually. Like if an infinite number of monkeys filled out an infinite number of March Madness brackets, eventually there would be a monkey that would be like, wait, why don't college athletes get paid? And finally, tonight, some international news from Australia.
Two 9-year-old girls have gone on a destructive rampage at a Helensvale shopping centre.
Unruly and uncontrollable. Two 9-year-old girls running amok, kicking security guards, abusing shoppers, and jumping on a car. A security guard seizing one of the girls' scooters in an attempt to defuse the situation.
If you take it, I'll probably kill you.
Police arriving shortly after, taking the girls home, much to the relief of bystanders.
Hey, Suri, schedule vasectomy for next week. Calling Jeremy. I can't believe that no adult there could control these children. Like, just no one in that entire Australian, there's like, no adult could control that you call the police. That is truly a first world problem. I'll tell you now. Because if this was Africa, it would still be viral. But it would be a viral video of two children getting chased by a woman holding a shoe. My grandmother would be like, which car is where you're going to kill who? Let's see who gets killed today! All right, let's move on to today's top story. The 2020 presidential election is now just 586 days away. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? It means, people, we are inching closer to finding out which one of the 800 Democrats will go up against Trump. And just look at how many people are running. Look at all those faces. Look at them. But before they can compete against Trump, the Democrats still have to defeat their greatest enemy of all, the skeletons from their past. So far, the theme of the primary campaign has been Democrats apologizing for the things they've done wrong in the past. Just this week, Kirsten Gillibrand apologized for her former position on gun control. Joe Biden apologized for how he ran the Anita Hill hearings. And Amy Klobuchar apologized for not finishing the job on that one staffer that she didn't like. I said oat milk, not almond milk! Ah! But one Democratic candidate, former Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper, has no regrets, even though he definitely should.
John Hickenlooper acknowledging that he took his mother to perhaps the most famous pornographic movie ever made.
So I took my mother to see Deep Throat. I didn't know what next movie was. We thought it was a little naughty, but we didn't think it was that bad. My mother was, I'm sure she was mortified. And I said repeatedly, I think we should leave, I think we should go. And at the end, she knew that I was humiliated.
I have so many questions. Okay. You took your mom to a porno by mistake, but even if you didn't realize you took your mom to an X-rated movie, why wouldn't you just leave once the deep throating started? Why did you watch the entire thing? I mean, even people who watch porn on purpose don't watch the entire thing. And I know that story makes Hickenlooper seem super weird, but I think it also shows that he's definitely qualified to be Commander-in-Chief. Yeah. Because if you can sit through a full porno movie next to your mom, then nothing will faze you, all right? There could be a full alien invasion, and President Hickenlooper will be like, my fellow Americans, don't panic. It could be worse. We could be watching Deep Throat with my mom. And the aliens would be like, he watches porn with his mom. This guy's a freak. Let's get out of here. Now, while a lot of the Democrats are in the news right now for the wrong reasons, there's one candidate who seems to be flying high.
A big boost for Democratic presidential hopeful Pete Buttigieg. The mayor of South Bend, Indiana, has soared to third place in a new poll of the Iowa caucus. Buttigieg picked up support from 11% of likely Democratic voters in Iowa, behind only Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders.
Emerging from the massive Democratic presidential pack, he is beginning to catch nationwide attention.
His polling numbers since last week have more than doubled.
He is the hot thing in the race right now.
Yes, that's right. The mayor of South Bend, Indiana, is now in third place in the Iowa Democratic polls, which is insane. I mean, he's so popular that I've seen people across America wearing his signature outfit of a dress shirt, blue tie, and sensible shoes. I mean, maybe that's just how white people dress. I don't know. The point is, who is this guy who is killing it in the polls? Well, let's find out in our brand new segment, getting to know them. All right, first things first. A lot of people are asking, how do you pronounce this guy's name? It's pronounced Pete. Okay? It's like peaches, but you just stop. All right? Pete. That's it. Oh, and as for his last name, we're still figuring that one out.
Pete Buttigieg.
South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg. I always say
Buttigieg.
His name wrong. Buttigieg.
Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg.
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 Mayor Pete Buttigieg.
Pete Buttigieg. Edge. Edge.
Pete Buttigieg.
Peter Buttigieg, the mayor of Indianapolis.
Best way to pronounce your last name.
Buttigieg. But around South Bend, they just call me Mayor Pete, and that's fine with me.
Oh, thank God, Mayor Pete. We'll take Mayor Pete. We'll take Mayor Pete. Yeah, because people were really struggling with this one. It's not Buddha Edge, it's not Buddha J, and it's definitely not Butt Tag. That was a weird one, Butt Tag? Butt Tag is actually the name of another movie that Hickenlooper saw with his mom. That's what that is. It's Buddha Jej. But now that we're on the same page on how to say his name, well, what has he done?
For a guy who's only 37, Pete Buttigieg boasts an impressive resume. First elected mayor of his hometown at age 29, a Harvard-educated Rhodes Scholar, as well as a lieutenant in the Navy Reserve.
Took an unpaid 7-month leave during his mayoral term for a deployment to Afghanistan.
Not only the first openly gay presidential candidate, he's also a newlywed.
Would be a president of firsts, the first to be elected in his 30s, the first millennial, the first openly gay commander-in-chief, and the first mayor.
This is the only chance you'll ever get to vote for a Maltese American left-handed Episcopalian gay war veteran mayor millennial.
Okay, wait. Maltese American? Are you guys telling me this guy's pot little dog? Because if that's true, he is gonna win every white person's vote in this country. White people love them little ass dogs. Love them! But seriously, though, I can see why people are impressed by Buttigieg, right? He has such a unique bio. He's a veteran, a Harvard graduate, and a Rhodes Scholar who's openly gay and also so young that if he served 2 terms as president, when he came out, he would still only be 46. Yeah, plus, he's a concert pianist and speaks 7 languages, including Norwegian, which he learned just so that he could read Norwegian books. Compare that to America's current president, who has read 0 books and is fluent in 0 languages. In fact, Buttigieg is pretty much the exact opposite of Donald Trump in every way. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he also has the world's largest hands. And I know you might be saying, so what, Trevor? Buttigieg is a cool guy. So what? There are plenty of cool guys, okay? And that's true. There are plenty of cool guys. I mean, like, do you guys know Brian? He's so cool. He has, like, a motorcycle, and one time he saw a dead body by the train tracks. Super cool. But Buttigieg isn't just Brian-level cool. No. As mayor, he's also got a record worth bragging about.
He ran for mayor at 29 years old in a place Newsweek labeled a dying city. He won.
South Bend, Indiana was one of the top 10 most decaying cities in the country. He has done things to turn around housing in the area. He's done things with pedestrianizing the city.
He transformed an old factory into a business park for tech companies. He raised the minimum wage for city employees, and now he is working on a paid family leave plan.
Okay, first of all, can we just acknowledge how mean it is that someone made a list of the top 10 most decaying cities? That's heartless. That's like People magazine doing an issue on the world's most unfuckable meth addict. Why would you do that? I mean, it's a great way for Scabby Greg to get his name out there, but still, people, not cool. This guy has a pretty resume. It's a pretty impressive resume, though, right? As mayor, he's done many things. And I know many people will try to dismiss Buttigieg as just some small-town mayor who's too young to be commander-in-chief. But according to him, he sees his age as an asset.
I belong to the generation that provided a lot of the troops for the post-9/11 conflicts, the generation that's going to be on the business end of climate change. And statistically, we run the risk of being the first generation in American history to actually be worse off economically than our parents if nothing is done to change the trajectory of this economy. It's a concern that calls on us to build an alliance among generations to try to make sure that the future really is better than the past. And you don't get that by promising to turn back the clock.
Now, of course, he doesn't want to turn back the clock. If we did, he'd just be a baby in a suit. I'm baby. Now, if you're watching this going, Trevor, why are you only showing us the positive things about Pete Buttigieg? Because that's all we could find, all right? No, I'm being serious. There's no dirt on this guy, like nothing. Usually candidates have some skeletons somewhere, but even his skeletons are singing his praises. He gave me calcium for my bones. And I'll be honest, guys, I'm suspicious of any candidate who is this perfect, right? I've been burned too many times, okay? In fact, I think Mayor Pete should do something bad to prove that he's normal, yeah. Yeah, like maybe he should just wear a little blackface. You know, maybe he should defend Michael Jackson. Or I don't know, go and watch porn with Hickenlooper's mom. Something, anything. Because until something comes up, that's basically all you need to know about Pete Burger. God damn it, I was doing so well. Well, that's Mayor Pete, everybody. We'll be right back.
Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
AI is making waves in every field it touches. President Biden is now on TikTok, and the election draws closer each day. With so much going on in the world, it is hard to keep up with it all, let me tell you. Hi, I'm Kai Ryssdal, the co-host of Make Me Smart. It's a podcast from Marketplace. And every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I break down the latest in business and the economy with short daily episodes to make it easy for you to stay in the know. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Daily Show. Now that the Mueller report has declared that there was no collusion, the Trump administration is flying high. These guys are in such a good mood right now. Trump is smiling everywhere he goes. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is doing her version of smiling. And Stephen Miller was even spotted out on the town with a new girlfriend. Yeah, I know, I can't believe that that monster is dating Momo. And when it comes to policy, the administration is totally unleashed. They're just doing whatever they want right now. For instance, they're trying to kill Obamacare again.
Breaking overnight, the Trump administration now says the entire Affordable Care Act is illegal and should be struck down in court. That's a dramatic shift from previous statements when the Justice Department argued only part of Obamacare was illegal.
The Republican Party will soon be known as the party of health care.
You watch.
You know, only Trump could brag about being the party of healthcare while he's trying to kill it. You know, it's like saying your wedding vows while you're making out with a bridesmaid, you know? And seriously, these guys do not care. Because first, Republicans took away the healthcare mandate, right? Now, they're trying to take away all the healthcare protections. Soon, they're just gonna come out against health in general. Trump is just gonna be like, new program, folks, we're giving everyone measles. Because if everyone has measles, no one has measles. Think about it, folks. Think about it. And now you might say, yeah, but Trevor, Trump always hated Obamacare. This is just politics. All right, maybe so. But that doesn't explain this.
Now to that Capitol Hill grilling, Education Secretary Betsy DeVos faced over her department's proposed budget cuts, including a call to slash all federal funding from the Special Olympics.
Wisconsin Democratic Congressman Mark Pocan pushing DeVos, asking whether DeVos knew how many children would be affected by the elimination of Special Olympics funding.
We had to make some difficult decisions with this budget.
Again, this is a question of how many kids, not about the budget.
I don't know the number of kids.
It's 272,000 kids. That's I'll answer it for you. That's okay. No problem.
I like how he said that with a smile, but that was a super asshole thing to do. Oh, no, it's fine. I'll answer it for you. But I understand why he's so angry. I mean, the Trump administration is cutting federal funding from the Special Olympics. That just sounds mean, right? Because here's the thing. the $18 million that they're going to save isn't even that much money for a government. It's actually what the government spends for Trump to visit Mar-a-Lago 5 times. Yeah, that's it. The same amount of money. So at the very least, you could compromise on this issue. Send the kids to Mar-a-Lago and make Donald run for once in his life. Yeah? Yeah, everybody wins. And as if that wasn't mean enough, President Scrooge McDuck is now saying that he thinks Puerto Rico has been getting too much money for hurricane disaster relief. Yeah. So in 4 days, Trump has gone after sick people, special needs kids, and hurricane victims. I feel like right now, baby SEALs are like, well, we had a good run, folks. For more on this issue of Trump being a total asshole, we're joined now by a man who proudly has the word asshole on his resume, Michael Costa, everybody. Michael. I'm at a loss for words, man.
Yeah.
What do you make of this situation? It's so disappointing and so depressing.
Hush your crying, my sweet Trevor, okay? You're looking at this the wrong way. What you're witnessing is President Trump in all his post-Mueller awesomeness. The Russia investigation was a dark cloud hanging over him, but now the sun is out, spring is here, and Trump is a douchebag bumblebee sipping the sweet nectar of total exoneration.
Okay, so stop that. Your lips look weird. Oh, right. Here's what I don't understand. You said totally exonerated, but Robert Mueller's report specifically said Trump was not totally exonerated. Like, you're sounding like Jussie Smollett right now.
Oh, yeah? And where is Jussie Smollett right now? Living as a free man, thanks to Robert Mueller.
Wait, what? Mueller had nothing to do with that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you read the Mueller report? Did you get a sneak peek?
No,
well,
but...
Well, then shut those dimples tight, okay? Because until it's released, the Mueller report exonerates Trump from anything he says it does. It gives him total freedom. And it's not just for Trump. It gives us all the go-ahead to do whatever we want, you know?
No, don't encourage him. Don't encourage him. No, Costa, you please, dude, you can't drink alcohol at work.
Don't tell me what to do, work dad, all right? Plus, don't worry, it's non-alcoholic, okay? Heineken 00. Now you can.
Wait, hold up. Did you just do a beer ad in the middle of my show?
Yeah, and I'm keeping all the profits because the Mueller report said I can.
No, dude, the Mueller report didn't say that.
Oh, did you read it in the last 5 seconds, huh?
No, I didn't.
No, oh, I didn't. That's what you sound like. Hey, do your dimples ever, like, switch, you know? If they go in on the outside, do they go out on the inside?
What, Costa, if that beer's non-alcoholic, why are you acting so weird, man?
Well, I may have been huffing some paint earlier, which you're not supposed to do, but, you know, Mueller said it's cool. Wink. I think I'm gonna pass out.
Okay, we need a doctor. Michael Costa, everybody, we need a doctor. Yo, this is good, this is bad. This is good. Welcome back to The Daily Show. I got this. My guest tonight is a psychology professor at Stanford University and author of the new book, Biased, Uncovering the Hidden Prejudice That Shapes What We See, Think, and Do. Please welcome Dr. Jennifer Eberhardt. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
I have seen some of your interviews. I have read the book, and this is one of the most fascinating conversations that is being had in a completely new way. Let's talk about bias. What's interesting is many people think of bias as a way to say somebody's racist.
Right.
But off the bat, we've got to clear that off the table. Someone being biased is not someone necessarily being racist.
That's right. And, I mean, all of us have a vulnerability to bias. And the book really looks at the science behind it.
Right.
And I think implicit bias can be defined as the beliefs and the feelings that we have about social groups that can affect our, you know, our decision making and our right. behavior, even when we're unaware of it.
It's interesting because, you know, most of us hear the term bias or implicit bias mm-hmm. oftentimes when talking about police. Right. You know, we'll hear that police have implicit biases. They will stop African-American people or minorities at a higher rate than the general population.
Right.
And that plays into the why. But how does bias affect somebody's ability to do their job as a police officer?
Well, it could affect. So in this country, there's an association between blackness and crime.
Right.
And that association could influence, you know, the decisions that officers make and the actions they take, again, even without, you know, knowing right. that it's affecting them.
You actually worked with Kamala Harris in implementing bias training.
Yes.
With police forces. How do you begin that? Like, what do you say to somebody? You'd be like, now, when you see the black person, no. Whatever you're thinking, no. Like, how do you teach someone to not be biased?
Sorry. So the idea is to... I'm sorry.
No, please. Okay.
So what you do is, I mean, you go in and you teach them what bias is, what uh-huh. implicit bias is, but you also teach them the conditions under which it's likely to be triggered. And so you want them to be mindful of those conditions in order to try to protect themselves from having that bias affect what they do.
Right. That was another amazing thing that I learned from the book, and that is bias may not be on the surface. It may be triggered by an event, by
yes.
stress, by
right.
panic. By
right.
So what you're saying is there may be an officer who's fine all the time. He doesn't see black people as a threat. But then when a situation becomes stressful, all of
right.
a sudden his bias kicks in.
It could.
It's like an allergy.
Right. Yeah. I hadn't thought about it that way before, but...
Well, you're a genius. I'm a comedian, so I mean...
So some situations where you're stressed, where you're threatened,
right.
where you have to think quickly, make decisions really fast. So all of those situations could trigger bias. It could make it more likely that you're going to act on that bias in some way.
Right.
And so... You know, we as individuals, we could try to protect ourselves from bias by slowing it down, you know, right, by relaxing, by, combating the conditions that we know are going to produce it. And you could do that also at the organizational level. So a police department could develop strategies and policies that don't put their officers in situations where they
right.
have to think fast and, where they're under threat and so forth.
Right, and so try and find ways to slow it down so that you are less, less at risk of your bias kicking in.
Right.
If we talk about bias as a police issue, it seems easy for everybody to understand.
Okay.
But one of the most powerful stories you write about is the story of bias in your family as it affected your son.
Yes.
And you tell the story of your 5-year-old son.
Yes.
And you're in a plane together, and he looks over and he sees a black man with dreadlocks, and he says, "That man looks like Daddy."
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And you go, "Oh, yeah, well, he doesn't look like Daddy, but why do you think that?" And he's like, "I don't know, he just reminds me of Daddy." And then your kid says, "I hope he doesn't rob the plane."
Yep, that's right.
Right. And you
yeah.
ask him, which is really fascinating, you say to him, "Well, why would you say that? Would Daddy rob the plane?" And he's like, "No, I don't even know why I thought that. I just, that moment, I mean, as a mother and as somebody who studies this, what must have been fascinating for you, what do you think that displayed, I mean, of a 5-year-old child who is black?
Right, right. I mean, it really underscores how sort of, you know, all of us are living in this world where we're absorbing, what's out there. We're absorbing
right.
What we see, and we're absorbing these associations that are getting made. And so my child, he picked that up, right, from living in the world, from being exposed to everything out there. It,
right.
it affects what's in here, and it affects, you know, how you then come to associate, you know, a particular group with a particular behavior. behavior or trait, but then you don't know exactly when you learn that. So you don't have to, like, I think people think that, oh, well, you know, children learn to be racist, say, because they have racist parents who will tell them, you know, that, you know, these people are like this and stay away from them. But you can live in the world and just absorb that by just watching how people behave and just, you know, yeah, you don't have to be explicitly told about a group. You can learn that for yourself. And that's what a child's job is to pick up what goes with what, you know, what correlates with what.
Right, pick up really, what is not said effectively.
Yeah.
Do you think that it helps to have narratives and images and ideas that counteract that? You know, I remember a really beautiful conversation that I watched. It was Muslim actors who were speaking about how the portrayal of Muslims in Hollywood has affected how many people in America and around the world see a brown person who is Muslim. They go, this person is bound to be a terrorist because that's all they see. And they said, we need more roles where Muslim people are just Dan in accounting. You know, so you go like, this person could be anything.
Yes.
But does it help to see images that counter it, or is it more powerful than that?
Well, I mean, I think it does help to see those images, but that's not, you know, the cure, right? So there are studies that have been done by researchers showing that even when, say, African Americans are placed in positive roles and in powerful roles on television, the actors surrounding them can give them sort of negative treatment or negative nonverbals that then people pick up just watching the show. And so you can become, you know, more biased by watching someone treat a black person in a negative way.
So if Michael Costa gives me the stank eye, then people out there could become biased. I'm watching you, Michael. I'm watching
you. Where is he?
let's talk about companies as well. You do work with corporations as well to try and help them combat bias. Mm. Airbnb is one of those. And we know that there were many stories where Airbnb was struggling with people who didn't want to have black people stay in their houses and how they rented affected. How do you begin implementing this on a corporate level and then expanding it into the public?
Yeah, so I mean, I work with them just informally. They sought me out as a social scientist who does work in this area. And they were having issues with racial profiling, basically, on the platform. And so, they tried to combat it in multiple ways. And so one was by hiring someone to come in and to kind of talk to people about what their experiences were, by looking at the law to see, you know, what could be done there. They settled on actually having people sign a community pact saying that that they wouldn't be biased, and that they understood what the norms of the platform were. What were, you know, to not disqualify someone from staying in your home because of your race, so forth. So they did all that, and then they also put together a team of people. It's an anti-discrimination team that meets on an ongoing basis. And sometimes I meet with them as well to try to think about ways that will shut it down or at least combat it in some way. Yeah.
Before I let you go, one issue that has been discussed quite intensely has been the issue around artificial intelligence and bias.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen so many stories of like artificial intelligence used in court cases or artificial intelligence used to determine people's threat levels or and so on and so forth. But what's been interesting is the realization that computers and AI aren't biased. They are just exposing the bias in the people who program the computers.
Right.
Do you think that that's something that we can fix? And if so, how?
You know, we need to deal with bias, right? So when we don't deal with it, it can just migrate to some other place.
Right.
And so I think we sort of think about AI as doing all these good things and doing a service to us. But in that way, they don't always. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, I'm actually using AI with the policing work now to look at body-worn camera footage. And there it's really helpful because you can look not just at an isolated case where there's a sort of high-profile case to adjudicate right and wrong. You could actually look across thousands of traffic stops is what we're doing, and look at how those interactions are unfolding and to try to pick up patterns in those interactions.
Right.
And to see the extent to which drivers who are black versus white are treated differently and so forth. So I feel like there's a huge promise there to using AI to actually analyze this footage can give us a window into what is really happening on the ground, the blow by blow, as it's unfolding
right.
in real time.
Before I let you go, I really had a fun time reading about one particular incident or series rather. Okay. You know, it's interesting. So many people will say, oh, bias is not real, or we don't see it, companies, businesses, etc. But there were a group of criminals in Oakland who are very aware of bias. Mm-hmm. And what they did was really interesting. Could you tell the audience what exactly these criminals did and how they used bias in their favor?
So this was when I got to Oakland, California, and I was working, just starting work with the police department there. And the crime rate was going down, but there were a series of strong-arm robberies that always seemed to happen in Chinatown in Oakland. Mm-hmm. And they would involve middle-aged Chinese women. So they were snatching their purses
right.
from their arms. So this is real. It's really stymied. The police officers, they couldn't figure out how to catch
right.
the robbers, because when they would round people up and say, "Is this the person?" the middle-aged Chinese women couldn't tell you.
Right.
And when they asked the robbers, well, why are you going there? Why are you going to Chinatown? And they said, because they can't tell the brothers apart.
That is one of the most horrible, fantastic stories ever. And the book is full of them. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. Wonderful having you. Bias is available now. Dr. Jennifer Eberhardt, everybody. Thank you so much.
The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Ears Edition. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central and the Comedy Central app. Watch full episodes and videos at thedailyshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And subscribe to The Daily Show on YouTube for exclusive content and more.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
What if I told you imaginary friends are real?
This is just so exciting.
This Friday, get ready for the movie event with the greatest cast you've ever imagined.
Showtime.
Ryan Reynolds, John Krasinski, Kaylee Fleming, Fiona Shaw, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Louis Gossett Jr., Matt Damon, Emily Blunt, George Clooney, Maya Rudolph, Bradley Cooper, Sebastian Maniscalco, John Stewart, Sam Rockwell, Awkwafina, Keegan-Michael Key, and Steve Carell.
I need to throw up or I need a snack. It's one of the two.
Gross.
If. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Written and directed by John Krasinski.